Get ready for the next event from New Jersey Revolution Radio.
Hi, I'm Becky from the Coffee House in Edison, New Jersey, and we're looking forward to seeing you at the Community Cannabis Forum on May 29th with New Jersey Revolution Radio.
With host Henry Hank Green.
What I would like to do is make sure that people get a full and an educational and an understanding of what this legislation is about and how it will affect their lives.
And the New Jersey weed man, Ed Fortune.
The governor ran on that. That's what he ran on. He kept talking about equity and legalization. We're going to have diversity. We're going to help the communities that were victimized by the war on drugs, blah, 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 blah.
For more information on this event or for activism going on all over New Jersey, join us on the web at www.njrevolutionradio.com. Thank you for tuning in this week to New Jersey Revolution Radio Live, every Wednesday on our Facebook page with Diane Moxley. This week, filling in for Diane is Brian Powers and Heather Warburton from Wine, Women, and Revolution. They'll be discussing the murder of Jameek Lowry and Patterson, Alex Law taking on the Norcross Machine, and Community Cannabis Forums. Thanks for tuning in this week to New Jersey Revolution Radio Live. Special guest, our comrade, our usual host, Diane Moxley, who's up in the city doing Extinction Rebellion, in New York City, because I know we're listened to down in South Jersey. She was up in New York City with Extinction Rebellion today, but I still wanted to come in. I felt bad taking 2 weeks off. So Heather from Wine, Women, and Revolution has joined me. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on and the big stories we're covering here at New Jersey Revolution Radio. Heather, how are you? Oh, I can't hear you, Heather. I think you're muted. Hang on a minute.
Oh, muted?
There we go. You are. Hang on, because I forgot to turn the music off. And I'm going to have to edit that out later. But that's the cool thing about, you know.
I was just asking if you always have such intimidating theme music you start off with.
I do, but I.
Aggressive.
Well, as you can see, you know, for people that follow the show, you know, we've upgraded equipment. I didn't used to have all these fancy bells and whistles going on back here. I think we always had that. That's the same theme music we've been using, but maybe it hasn't been as loud, so it's not as powerful. It's called the War Drums of Peace. It's on Free Music Archives. It's done by the Marion Circle Drum Brigade, which I dig it, man.
It kind of feels like we're going to invade somewhere, so it's exciting.
Well, we're not invading. It's the War Drums of Peace, which is
right.
I guess that caught my eye when I was searching around, and Diane seemed to like it. So yes, it's the theme song.
I'm not one to judge, considering I'm just humming and playing the Internationale in my theme music.
That's so. You know what, though? It's you, and it's creative, and I love listening to it. You know, so I thought we'd come on this week, like I said, and just kind of highlight a few things that we've talked about at New Jersey Revolution Radio. We want to thank everybody out there that, of course, supports what we do here. You can go to the web and make a contribution at www.njrevolutionradio.com. And one of the things, I guess, one of the more important stories that we've latched onto, and I really wish we could latch onto more. And the truth is, I really wish I could get up to Patterson every day and follow this story, but I just can't, you know. But the Jameek Lowry murder and non-investigation and the treatment of the community by the Patterson police has been horrible, basically. I mean, you've got this young man who shows up in a police station on Facebook Live as well, but is accusing the police and saying the police are going to kill him. And the police are just kind of standing around looking at this dude like, yeah, whatever. You know, like, they're not helping him. They're not. He's asking for a drink of water. Clearly something's wrong with the guy, and they're not doing nothing. A few hours later, he turns up dead, or he turns up in the hospital, and he winds up dying. There's a story that he has meningitis. The city council says he has meningitis, and he never had meningitis. They totally made this up. The whole thing's been this weird. I mean, it's obviously a cover up. All I can tell, you know, is knowing from here, and I think that, you know, Corey, who was on the show, agreed with me, is there's obviously a cover up. We can't, and because there's a cover up, we can't tell you the truth. I mean, we're sitting here now 100 days after this man's murder, and there's no, that we haven't seen the autopsy report. Come on. And Governor Murphy shows up in Patterson and laments the murder of this quote-unquote lad. I don't.
He said lad?
Corey took offense to it, I saw on Facebook, saying, you know, that's his way of saying boy. I picture, this old Irish guy, down at Frenchie's bar when I was a kid with my grandfather with one of those little golf hats on, calling Ed a lad. I don't know where Murphy came from, why he's still using
it. It's a weird choice of words.
It is a weird choice of words. So I'm going to play the clip from Facebook. It's about 3 or 4 minutes long. But you'll hear Corey, our comrade up there in Patterson, asking a very direct question with regards to policy and with regards to the murder of his community member. And then we'll just play, and then we'll listen to Phil Murphy's response, and we'll just talk a little bit about how we would feel if this was our community and this was governor's answer to us. So here's Corey questioning, and you may have to listen a little closely on the audio here. This is from a cell phone in an audience, but I can hear most of it, so here we go.
As you know, my name is Corey T, and I represent Black Lives Matter Patterson. I'm also the organizer with Justice for Jamie. The question I have, the family and community is demanding answers, transparency, and justice. We do not believe that can occur with the investigation handled by the Passaic County Prosecutor's Office. Our current battle to remove the investigation out of Passaic County could have been avoided if the independent prosecutor bill was signed before his death. While now the bill is signed, because of protests since his death occurred before the passing of the bill, it is still being reviewed by the county. Can you commit to ensuring that this case gets independently investigated and to ensure accountability for future instances of police misconduct and abuse? Will you champion to change laws and policies on the state level to allow strong, independent civilian review boards with subpoena power?
Correct. Thank you. Let me say broadly what I can't say, but first of all, I want to say that the loss of life of that lad is in my prayers and my family's prayers, and it has been ever since it happened. So God rest his soul, number one, most importantly. Secondly, that is an ongoing criminal and law enforcement matter, and you'll have to forgive me. That's something that I really can't get into in any specific detail. Thirdly, having said that, I promise you the prosecutor in this county and the attorney general and his senior team are taking this extremely seriously. This is not a passing interest to them, I promise you that. And fourthly, as Corey highlighted, I was honored to pass, after an enormous amount of deliberation and input, the independent prosecutor law. Sign that. It puts us into a very different place, and by many measures, into a place in America almost uniquely. And that was as a result of, sadly, tragedy, too many over time. It was a result of great leadership by elected officials, particularly legislators. It was great leadership by activists like Corey and others like him. And at the end of the day, we got to the right place. We read in the papers, Dean, about the bad apples or...
All right, that's enough of that nonsense.
So that was some artful question dodging there by Phil Murphy.
Good!
He turned it around as like, you have this question. Here, let me tell you about what I did and get some applause for it. That was some masterful bullshit there.
Well, he didn't get where he is by not being great at bullshitting people. I mean, let's face it.
That was enraging. Like, he didn't even, like, he asked a very simple question. Can we get an independent review board of this case? It sounds like it needs it. And he didn't even remotely try to answer that. So, yeah, I think I would be fairly angered.
I'm getting tired in my old, as I reach into the 40s here, I'm getting tired of people dancing around and bullshitting people when you know what the right thing to do is. And you know what? If Phil Murphy isn't part of a cover-up, then he needs to be calling it out, not backing the county prosecutor who hasn't released an autopsy report in 100 fucking days. And
right now they're saying that this kid had this guy had meningitis.
Oh, that was just made up. A few days later, they were like, oh, no, we messed that up. We were just hoping to pull some bullshit real quick.
Like, he was beaten up, right? Like, that when he was in the hospital, like, he was physically beaten.
Every appearance, yes. The problem is, when did they beat him? Where was he for a couple of hours? You know, he was in a police department, yelling for help, obviously in distress, saying, Mom, I'm sorry, I'm going to die. Things that, you know, about the police are going to kill him. And then he winds up dead and apparently beaten. And... you know, when, where it happened, and you're going to tell me that there wasn't police involvement here? Come on. You know, and here's some, I guess, the major, like, the issue that I think of is when I hear people defend the police and say, well, not all police are bad people, and they rescued my kitty one time or whatever, is where's the fucking good cop in Patterson turning into bad cops? Where's the good cop in Patterson? You know, the only good cop in Patterson that turned in other bad cops because he was on videotape smiling while his partner beat a suicidal man. And I don't know, did you follow that story at all? But, you know, this is the Patterson Police Department. I want to see the good cops. Where are the good cops, you know, going working with the feds and getting the bad cops arrested? Because I don't see a whole hell of a lot going on in that state right now. After that use of force report, you would think that it would be a wake-up call that they need to change their culture so that guys like me don't have as much ammunition to throw at them, but they haven't. They've closed ranks, and they're still beating people in the streets of Patterson. And we've seen it on videotape, and, you know, God bless Corey, God bless the New African Black Panther Party up there that's taking it to the system, and they're going to be continuing this fight, and I'm going to stay with it, and I know that the rest of us up here, the activist community in North Jersey, needs to continue to galvanize around this important issue. This young man was murdered, probably by the police. And the truth needs to be heard. And if it wasn't the police, then let's see the autopsy reports. Let's see the evidence. But answers like that from our governor don't get us nowhere, because he just patted a county investigator on the back for not doing his job. And it was gross to me. I hope it was gross.
And
to
we
you.
See this happen again and again and again in this state. Like down here, a few months back, we had LaShonda Anderson got shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was in a Burlington coat factory. The manager of the Burlington coat factory just called the cops and said, we have a murderer in the store, somebody who's wanted for murder, with no information. Like, he just made that up. And the cops show up, like, locked, thinking they're going to take on, like, Jeffrey Dahmer. And it was this woman who was possibly shoplifting. And they show up and they kill this woman. So it just happens across the state, and no one's ever held responsible for it. Mm. So definitely, you know, hopefully now that it's getting more media attention, I don't know, maybe that some justice will come. They'll, you know, release the autopsy at least.
I definitely have not been impressed with the response after that use of force report. And I thought we were going to see a lot more from these progressive people. Attorney Grabir Graywall, supposedly is a very progressive-minded guy. But yet he's going after pot doctors instead of going after cops that are murdering people. So I'm not impressed with what I see from a police accountability issue. I know that everybody is very happy about this independent prosecutor. I think it's a step in the right direction. Certainly I applaud it as something. But given the urgency of the matter and the amount of violence going on in this state being committed by police, I would expect that people take these things more seriously, and it starts with Governor Murphy, who has been a big disappointment on this issue so far to most of us that are involved. But that being said about law, there's my segue. How do you like the segue? I'm practicing my segues here. Speaking about the law, Heather, you interviewed somebody whose name is Law, Alex Law, right?
Yeah, that interview just went up on Monday.
Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know Alex Law, you know, he a while back tried to take on the Norcross machine down here in South Jersey, mm-hmm. and actually ran against Donald Norcross.
Yes.
When Donald Norcross was running the first time.
Yeah. And that alone takes some courage.
Yes, it does take some courage. You know, it took a very systematic plan, but he was outraged by what he saw. And so I had a little clip about what part of the outrage was that sparked him, that he had to try to take on this sort of David and Goliath battle, as it were. And here's what he had to say.
I've said many times that I believe the Economic Opportunity Act is the single greatest piece of graft in the history of the United States, where we saw over $1 billion of New Jersey taxpayer dollars basically flow directly to the Norcross machine and their affiliates. And how?
So, wow. You know, obviously, Murphy's still talking about this Economic Opportunity Act, you know, that they're saying billions of dollars were spent and no jobs were created. Oof. And Alex taught me something very interesting, that we think it's just tax breaks for like the Norcross affiliates and like their businesses.
Right.
But really, those tax breaks are sellable to other bigger corporations.
I heard like, that.
You know, if IBM or Apple or Amazon had a tax burden, the Norcross family could like sell their extra tax burden, like tax credits, to any other company that was also not making jobs. Just, and then they could pocket the money.
That's crazy.
A hell of a setup.
I mean, that's crazy. And the jobs, so the, and what I guess the key, the thing that Nomi is, they're not really creating jobs. They're just kind of moving jobs, right? It's not
like
we're really adding to
an economy. Atlantic City Electric to Atlantic City. They moved, I think, South Jersey Gas to somewhere in Camden. But it was like just down the road already anyway.
Did they hire anybody new because of it? Did they hire anybody new because of it? Did like anybody actually get a new job?
No, they build these very isolated like areas down on the waterfront there.
Right.
Nobody goes into the community. No economic development is happening. And the people that were just living, you know, before in Cherry Hill are still living in Cherry Hill. And now they're just driving into Camden and then out of Camden at the end of the day.
Jesus. And we're talking $1 billion in money, basically for Norcross corporate executives.
Yes, and their allies and, you know, their connected people.
I have been telling, you know, I think I might have touched on this in another show, but I'll tell the story again because that's what I do. I tell stories over and over again. You know, we did a presentation at the NJ PIRG meeting at Rutgers Newark, and I want to thank those organizers again. I had a great time, and I got the fortunate opportunity to give a quick presentation, which is on our Facebook page. And I asked them, you know, how many people here know who George Norcross is? How many people here are from New Jersey? Everybody in the room was from New Jersey. And only a handful, like three or four out of the 20 or 25 so participants knew who this guy was. And
wow.
I'm like, this guy has got power over you. You know, like this guy is really in control of so much of what goes on in this state. And a lot of his power comes from, you don't know who he is. And that's unbelievable. That's really unbelievable to me. I would think, I guess, at this point that most people know, but people don't even know who this guy is because he's never run for office. He's never held political office, and he doesn't belong in our fucking political system in the first place. You know, but I think that's a function of how he goes about business, that he can actually get away with this much power, yet maybe only 5 or 6% of our state knows his name. That's crazy.
Yeah, I've had conversations with, I mean, people down here in the heart of Norcross control land that are politically connected who don't know who he is either. And I mean, this is somebody who in South Jersey, like, he controls everything.
Yeah.
He hand selects everyone for every office like years in advance. There's no political freedom under the iron fist of this regime.
And I think that's what really, I think, is what Wine Women in Revolution, what the activist community out of South, and you can give credit to some more of the groups, please, that have been working on this. And there's even some people involved with the Democratic Party that are starting to take on the system. And I applaud all of that work, because the first thing really is raising the issue, because I don't think people are. Now, I'm telling you this story from a group of activists, and it's not the first time I've been in a group of activists, younger activists, where I've mentioned that name and they really didn't know who he was. So I think, you know, anybody that's working to say, listen, look at what this guy is involved in and look at exactly how much of our state governance he controls. Why? We got a question. The big question is, why is he in charge of anything when we've never voted for him to do anything? Why?
It's all about the money. He is a big donor to the party. I mean, I've had people say, like, oh, we have to support this candidate because that's who's going to get the money.
Yes.
It's all about where's the money going to come from, and that's not what politics should be about.
It's not. The other and Alex actually, I mean, he got scientific-y on you. He
did.
He broke it down to a dollar amount.
Yes.
That he said, what was the average dollar amount? I remember he mentioned the average dollar amount that a congressional campaign pays for each vote.
Yeah, basically that's, I guess, a Democrat thing that they use to figure out, like, the cost per vote. And the cost per vote can be, you know, in the neighborhoods of $3, $4. And Alex tried to make it as cheap as possible. And I think he came in around like $2.60 a vote, which is still outrageous, like for the kind of numbers we're used to, right? Like, we've had pennies for a vote before, I'm pretty sure, with like Madeline's campaign.
The whole conversation made me uncomfortable from the start. You know, just from a guy that's perspective is money shouldn't be involved in influence politics at all. You know, that votes that we should have a completely publicly funded election system. The whole the idea that somebody's even doing this math and that it's real. I mean, he's
right, yeah.
What he's doing
this
is realistic.
Something Alex Law made up. That's, he actually just tried to use it as scientifically and as efficiently as possible.
Yes.
But, you know, that's a thing that they talk about that, you know, how much do we spend per vote? Is it $3? Is it $3.50? Is it $6 a vote,
right?
You know,
well, it was crazy, and I appreciated the interview. For those of you that haven't listened, you can check it out on our website. While I play the introduction to our next segment here, Heather can post it if you can find that link real quick for me, comrade. And I'm going to go ahead and play the commercial for our next upcoming event. We are very excited here, and I'll just let our next segment explain.
Get ready for the next event from New Jersey Revolution Radio.
Hi, I'm Becky from the Coffee House in Edison, New Jersey, and we're looking forward to seeing you at the Community Cannabis Forum on May 29th with New Jersey Revolution Radio.
With host Henry Hank Green.
What I would like to do is make sure that people get a full and an educational and an understanding of what this legislation is about and how it will affect their lives.
And the New Jersey weed man, Ed Fortune.
The governor ran on that. That's what he ran on. He kept talking about equity and legalization. We're going to have diversity. We're going to help the communities that were victimized by the war on drugs, blah, 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 blah.
For more information on this event, or for activism going on all over New Jersey, join us on the web at www.njrevolutionradio.com.
So that's that. Heather was a lead organizer at an event down in Pleasantville. If you haven't seen it yet, I go there's parts 1 and 2 up on the web and on the YouTube page as well. Heather, your thoughts? It was a great event. I mean,
yeah, I had so much fun at that event. I was so pleased that we were basically constructing a cannabis forum for the community, which everyone's been constructing it for businesses and for what they can, you know, extract out of this blooming industry, as it were. And we organized something for the community. The community got to show up and hear from people who've really had their lives affected by the war on cannabis.
Yeah.
And, you know, be it patients, be it people who've been arrested for it. So it was really great to hear all these different viewpoints. And there was even a little back and forth between people on the panel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was good.
And a panel so nice, we're going to do it twice. So we are, I have spent the last couple of weeks copying all of Heather's work, completely co-opting it and making it mine.
but I'm a communist and I don't believe
there you go.
Property
we don't own
anyway,
anything, so. But it was a great, and we're going to do it again in Edison at the Coffee House here in Edison, May 29th. We've already got, Weed Man will be involved again. And Henry, of course, is going to be our host. This was kind of born from Henry. Was this Henry's brainchild, correct?
Yeah, Henry and I were doing his very first, like, Voices of AC interview. He was interviewing me and we were just talking about cannabis.
Just talking about it.
Right. We have a different unit, but we were having a discussion about cannabis.
He's just talking about it. That's all.
And somebody like came onto his live feed and was like giving a piece of information. He's like, you know, we just need to organize a forum for the community because things are changing so fast. We need to organize something like this. And out of that like offhand comment by Henry, we you know, put in a couple of months of work and made it happen. And it was everything I could have hoped it was, for sure.
It came across great, and I just had fun. I was lightly involved. I did the tech stuff on it, but I just saw so much potential there, and I know Henry wanted to go around the state with it, and we at New Jersey Revolution Radio are just happy to ride his coattails a little bit and help him produce these, you know, help him produce these forums. So we've got the one in Edison scheduled, but I don't think we really want to stop there. We are a small operation, and the bottom line is we need a little help. So what I've done is we put together, you know, some work on the website. There's a tab for cannabis forums on the webpage. And what I ask people to do is you check us out. If you can attend one, great, you know, or share and watch and help get the information out there. But if you really want to have a little forum in your neighborhood, in your town, and you want to help us out organize one and figure out a way to get one there, give us a buzz, because you know, I watched, there was a city hall debate. I was watching the Ed Grimes podcast, the podcast, and I believe, or maybe his live stream, I forget. But credit to him for putting forth the Denville City Council meeting. And you had people getting up there and giving their opinions to a city council, which clearly had already made up its mind and brought in cheerleaders in. And, they, you know, their buddy showed up, make sure you give a speech to say I'm good, you know. And we all know what goes on at these city council meetings. Which is fine, and you have to have official forums of democracy. I understand that. But, you know, this is more of a community event where you can sit around and talk with local business owners. We are inviting politicians, as is our policy here at Revolution Radio. They won't be speaking, but they can come, and they did come to Pleasantville. We had a couple
that did show up.
And God bless them.
You wouldn't have even known they were there. They did exactly what I commend them for. They sat there. They listened. They heard what the community had to say.
Yes.
Now, I think there were people that already kind of supported us anyway, is that we got to show up. But I'd like politicians that disagree with us to show up at these things.
I think it's important. I think it's important to have a more robust, and when me and Henry were cranking each other up on the phone, like getting excited about this idea and bringing it around, we were like, you know, this is democracy in action. You know, this is people getting together. It's not an official forum, but it's something where we can have a discussion where the community and businesses and and it's not being funded by corporate America. Investors Bank is not going to help New Jersey Revolution Radio run around the state. So, you know.
No, our sponsors were like guys that sell hash pipes. You know? Yeah. That was our sponsors. And they did it where they were great, you know.
Not
they
only
had
do
a great
they
table.
Sell hash pipes, but they give them away, people.
And I think we will have a few more of those at our next forum.
This is I haven't given the calls yet, but I'm sure he will. He committed to coming out and doing more with us. And some of the sponsors that had hopped on board that, we're hoping to see him again. So it's going to be a bigger, better version of what we did down south. But we feel that the way this thing goes, the way this thing is meant to really have an impact is these is multiple places, different communities and diverse communities. I will tell you that this will be easier to do in suburbs areas and stuff like that. But I think it's important we get into Newark and Camden and Atlantic City, and we'll need a little bit of help doing that. If people are out there and can make a contribution to the Community Cannabis Forum Fund, I put together a little GoFundMe, and the intention of that is to make sure we get into diverse communities. We all know that, you know, it may be easy in suburbia to put together some money to bring a show to town, but it's not quite as easy in areas that are economically depressed. And I know that our vision for New Jersey Revolution Radio is one that's diverse and reflects all the communities in the state of New Jersey, but with special focus on those that are traditionally disenfranchised. So
that's why I thought it was important to do that first forum in a very economically depressed area in Pleasantville, you know, launch it in exactly the kind of communities that are going to be have been most impacted by the war on drugs.
Absolutely.
And will continue to be. So it's very important that we get into those communities.
Yes.
Even if it is a little easier to plan the ones in the suburbs, it's more important to plan the ones not in the suburbs.
It's honestly a matter of money. And I think it's a sad comment on capitalism that, you know, it'll be easier to find sponsors in places that we really don't need to be as much as the places we need to be. And that's why I'm putting out this plea. And that's why I'm explaining why we're trying to fundraise, is because we can kind of finance these things in easier areas. But, you know, if we really want to have community discussions and afford community discussions in these areas, we need help. We need help. So help us. It's a great program, and it's fun. We had a great time. I met some people, agreed and disagreed with people, had great conversation, and walked away from it feeling like we had done something for the community, and that's the kind of stuff I just love to know that we may have had an impact, and that, you know, is a positive one. You know, these policies are changing fast. You know, God only knows when Steve Sweeney's going to, you know, get the order from George to pass a law. So, you know.
Yeah, Steve Sweeney's down here tonight campaigning about his path to poverty. Oh, or, I mean, path to progress.
God. Where is he? Where is he tonight? What town is he in?
He's down in Mays Landing.
Well, the unions finally caught on that he's coming after their livelihoods again and decided to start bird dogging him a little bit around the state, and I applaud them for that, you know, and I think they should have been doing it much earlier when I started saying, hey, you know, recognize what's going on, but hey, sour grapes.
Well, we are elevated, you know, we're at an accelerated pace above the, you know, most people. They catch up to us eventually.
It's true, but we're going to charge on and we're going to keep making them keep up with us. I appreciate it. Comrade, do you have anything to plug? We did, I think, everything we said we was going to did, and it's done.
Well, I do. My next interview that's coming up Monday, speaking of Weed Man, I did sit down with Weed Man at his Liberty Bell Temple. And we discussed what jury nullification is, how it works, how he plans to use jury nullification to help get these stupid cannabis laws that, you know, allows one person to sell and another person to still go to jail for it, you know, to really try to overturn those and make it a fair and just system for everybody. So we had a great conversation about that. It was a lot of fun.
Good. I'm looking forward to that as well. Obviously, it ties in with the cannabis forums that we're doing, and I love Ed. I saw him today. I was doing some business down in Trenton. I stopped into the shop and had lunch there, and you know, he's
did you have the chicken wings?
I had I had a turkey sandwich or something.
Because it was the chicken wings that he got busted for selling after 10 p.m. that time. So the first time I went there, I had to have the chicken wings. Like, oh, these are the, like, illegal chicken wings.
He still has to feed the people sign up, but it's not on the front of the store facing the city hall anymore.
He's got a great venue there, and people should definitely support him.
Absolutely. Go eat at the Weed Man's joint. It is tons of good food. The aroma in the air will make you salivate the minute you walk in. Please check it out. Anything else, Heather?
No, I think that's it for me. And, you know, have fun on your vacation. I don't get to go on vacation this week, so I will definitely be jealous, but I'll hold down the fort for you while you're gone.
I will. It's true. I will be on vacation next week, and that means New Jersey Revolution Radio Live will be off the air next week. Probably will post something. Also, keep in mind, Diane has been out there with Extinction Rebellion and other protest movements around the state live streaming. So if you stay tuned to our Facebook page, you'll see a lot of live streaming of stuff going on around the state. Just because we're taking off a week from one show doesn't mean we don't keep the revolution going. I'm looking forward to coming back to you guys the first week of May with our next NJRR Live and Diane Moxley. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks, Heather, for joining me. Have a great night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of NJRR Live. Visit us on the web at www.njrevolutionradio.com to listen to more episodes or make a contribution to help us here
at
Grassroots Media Network.